to John chapter 12, verse 9. And I want to say it's so good to see my friend Daryl here today. There's three Daryls at church today. What are the odds? Maybe that's the miracle, one of the miracles Pastor was talking about. It's got to be a good service, right? It's good to see you, sir. My friend Carmen's here today. It's good to see you. John chapter 12, verse 9. Jesus has gone to Bethany and had dinner with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And it says, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. I'm preaching to this morning to everybody that feels like the minute you try to serve God, there's a target on your back. Every time you make an attempt to come to church, to read your Bible, to pray, whatever it is, all of a sudden you feel like he's aiming for you. He's gunning for you, right? The good news is, you're on the list. But it's a great list to be on. The title of this message is Welcome to the Wanted. Let's lift our hands and love the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for this great day. Thank you, Lord, for your power that is in this place. Thank you, Jesus, for what you are about to do. Now, Lord, I pray for your anointing. Let it be upon me that the words would come forth the way that you would do it, God. Anoint our hearts and minds to receive what you have for us. And anoint these altars that they will be fruitful. And today, eternal choices will be made. Today, eternal blessings will come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So as part of my extensive research for this message, I checked out the FBI's most wanted list. I've never done that before. Turns out just last week it turned 65. J. Edgar Hoover was being interviewed, and they asked him for specific names and characteristics of people that they were hunting for. So March 14th, 1950, the FBI issues its first ever 10 most wanted fugitives list. Since that time, 504 fugitives have been on the list, and 473 have been captured. That's a 94% success rate. Yeah, sure, let's give a hand to the FBI today. Y'all may come out of here liking the FBI more than me before we're done. 31% of the people on the list have been captured thanks to public assistance. The longest one on the list, Victor Manuel Garina, a bank robber who's been on the list for more than 30 years. The shortest, in 1969, Billy Bryant was on the list for 2 hours before somebody found him in the attic in Washington, D.C., where he was hiding out. Now, if you read the 10 most wanted list, it looks like a dating site. I'm serious. It said, he loves dogs, especially tan and black colored German shepherds. He speaks fluent French and has a master's degree in international business. He is an avid golfer, snowboarder, skier, and dirt biker. He was and still may be an avid outdoorsman, camper, and hiker. He enjoys canoeing, fishing, swimming, jogging, tennis, skiing, and riding motorcycles. He works out several times a week. He is also a licensed amateur pilot. He has an American Studies degree from Yale University and a master's degree in Italian from Middlebury College in Vermont. He was known to read extensively. He's physically fit and an avid outdoorsman, hunter, and fisherman. Then it says you get to the part that he participated in a multi-million dollar fraud, committed armed robbery, accused of racketeering and money laundering, and escaped from prison. Also, much like a dating site. Of those 504 people, only 8 of them have been women. You know what that means? Y'all are better at covering your tracks than we are. You know that's right. Now, when a spot opens up on the list, each FBI field office submits nominations for the top 10. There are 2 criteria to being on the list. First one, is this person a serious danger to society? And 2, would the publicity from being on the 10 most wanted list provide a much better chance of catching this person? If there had been a most wanted list in the Roman Empire, then the Jerusalem field office would have submitted 2 names, Jesus and Lazarus. It wasn't that Jesus and Lazarus posed a danger to society in general. They posed a danger to the society of the chief priest. See, the chief priests were made up of Sadducees. Man, I want to say that joke about Sadducees, but I won't do it. I tried it last time. Y'all didn't laugh then, so we're going to go on. The thing about the Sadducees is they didn't believe in resurrection. And so it's a bit messy when you have the resurrector and the resurrectee running around Jerusalem when you don't believe in such a thing. Lazarus was being talked about way too much. We back up a chapter where he came out of the tomb and the Bible says, and he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. And many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. We go to chapter 12. It says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. John 12:17 says, the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. And for this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. Now, Lazarus was all the rage right now in Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, a lot of the crowd that came out with their palm branches the next day, the next scene over, they came because Lazarus. But there's more here that meets the eye. This is not about some uptight religious folks getting their theology rocked. This is not about jealousy that the celebrities in Jerusalem are losing their paparazzi to Lazarus. But Lazarus represented something to the spiritual enemy that put him on the devil's hit list. From the moment Satan introduced mankind to the sin of disobedience in the Garden of Eden, he had the upper hand over God's favored creation. When we were designed and placed in the garden, it was with dominion. It was with life. It was with power. The moment that the devil introduced sin into the garden, that was given up, and he usurped that and took it as his own. But he didn't get to revel in his victory very long before God warns him, payback's coming. Genesis 3:15 says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So, the devil's always on the lookout for that one that's going to bruise his head. Down through the years, he got these not so subtle reminders that a day of reckoning was coming and his reign was only temporary. It was in the songs that they sang in the temple. In Psalm 16, it says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And then Psalm 49, but my God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. So here the devil is looking into the temple every time that crazy choir gets up and sing, wondering which one of you characters is the one that's going to come bruising my head. Because you're standing there singing about life forevermore. You're standing there singing about how you're going to be rescued from the grave. One of you, I got my eye on you. Yeah. Then the temple is destroyed. God's people are spread out all over Asia. And you would think that when the music stopped, he could have some peace. But then the voices of prophets remind Satan of a day of reckoning that is coming. Isaiah said, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God shall wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. After him came Daniel, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Did you hear that, devil? Not just forever, but forever and ever. Just in case you were confused about how long that is forever. Then Hosea comes along. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. And so the devil has these reminders from the day he left the Garden of Eden. Something's coming. I don't know which one of you it is, but somewhere along the way, I'm going to get paid back for what I did back there. But then after that, nothing. The silence of death winning. The silence of the cover of the kingdom of darkness. The silence of a defeated man. The choir was no longer singing that one day he will rescue me from the grave. The grizzled prophets were no longer screaming in the streets that one day God will conquer death. But then along came Jesus. And in John 1 and 4, John said in him was life. You know what you've been missing? You've been missing life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And then Jesus came along. And when he opened his mouth to speak, Satan knew that the jig was up. To Nicodemus, in the cover of night, Jesus says to him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. To the Pharisees, he said, verily I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And one day, he was in the temple. And he took the book, and he opened it up to read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And the Bible says, as he closes the book, he gives it back to the priest, he sits back down and says, today's the day. And I'm the one. How calm and quietly he did that. But what it did in hell. Because at that moment, the devil knew, I don't know when it's coming, but I now know who it is. I don't know what it's going to look like, but that's the one that has been sent to bruise my head. Look out. Boys, gather the troops. Fire up the cannons. Load your guns, because something's about to happen. I don't know where it's coming from, but I'm about to get my payback. And then John 10 and 10, I love this verse. He says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You see, the devil had established himself as king, as ruler over the kingdom of darkness of this world. But Jesus exposed him in this verse for what he is, a thief. Yeah. you're not a king. You have usurped the power from those that I gave it to, and you set yourself up a little kingdom. But guess what? You're a thief, and I'm going to expose you for what you are. And what you have stolen from my people is coming back. It's coming home. Your kingdom's done. I'm about to pull them out one by one, two by two, 120 at a time, 2,000 at a time, 5,000 at a time, 37 in Cleveland at a time. I'm taking them back. Hallelujah. In one simple statement, Jesus pulls back the curtain to show the little man who has been yanking our chains for generations. Isaiah spoke of this day. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee, narrowly, squinty-eyed, and consider thee, saying, is that the man? Are you kidding? That's him? I thought he'd be taller. At the Halloween store, he's got pointy little horns. He's got the pitchfork. He don't look so bad after all. Because he's not a king, he's a thief. And somebody needs to walk away from here today knowing that he's not a king that has rule and control over you, but he is a thief. And the power that he has taken has been taken back in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but spoiler alert, there is hope for you. There is life for you. It's coming back to you today. And that is why Lazarus was on the most wanted list. People saw that man wrapped in linen and laid in a tomb. They heard Jesus command the barriers to be removed. Hello, God removes barriers. They heard Jesus call for Lazarus to come out, and they saw a dead man live again. In his natural restoration from death back to life, Lazarus revealed the true nature of Jesus as the life giver. It was not the mission of Jesus Christ to make wine. It was not the mission of Jesus Christ to make loaves and fishes. It was not his mission to heal the blind. I'll go a step further. Look out. It's not his mission to heal the leper. These were added benefits. What he came for was to give life. Hallelujah. Just as surely as it happened at the tomb in Bethany, the devil knew that every song that he had ever heard in the temple, every prophecy that he heard voiced from the villages, was about to come true. And Jesus would soon stand at the gates of the kingdom of darkness and command that his children come out to new abundant life. Try as he did, the devil could not stop what God had set into motion. Titus said that it is the hope of eternal life which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Imagine how well he slept that night. He heard the choirs from the Temple of Solomon yelling and carrying on about deliverance. He heard those ugly prophets from hundreds of years ago that would scream that one day Jehovah would conquer death. And right there stands a physical representation of the spiritual life that Jesus was about to bring. There is a list. There is a most wanted list. And you want to be on that. Because honestly, if the enemy isn't jealous of the life you're living, then you are not yet living. If you're not on his list as needing to be caught, then you are caught. If you're not in the battle right now, then you're trapped in the enemy's camp. But you can get out. You can live today. Romans 6 and 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Let me tell you about a plan that restores life back to you, that gives dominion back to you. Through repentance, you break the chains that the devil has on you. You no longer own me. I have decided that I'm turning away from you and going this direction, and nothing will hold me back. Baptism in the name of Jesus Christ then erases the debt that you owe to the thief. And receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost raises you up to new life. Paul told the Ephesians, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, but God, who is rich in mercy, but God, who was tired of the pretend king of this world, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Look at this. He raised us up together to sit in heavenly places. Where did we start? That was his plan in the beginning. That we would be sitting together in heavenly places with him. That he would come and visit with us in the cool of the day and talk about what we had dominion over that day. But we gave it up to the thief. And then the thief raised up into heavenly places, atmospheric places. He set himself up a kingdom. And now, by the grace of God, it says we are raised up to sit together in heavenly places. Your kingdom is over. The dominion has ceased. You were once a thief, and now you're a thief again. Let it be revealed to all that anyone who sits in darkness can be free. You are not bound. You are not bound. You are not bound to him any longer. Huh. Okay, so I've talked about a list. And being on a list sounds dangerous. I know at work I try to stay off people's list. You know that's right. You get on a list, there's work to be done. You get on a list, people are looking at you. It almost seems like it would be much better to just stay under the radar. I'm not going to sit in the reserve seat. I'll sit right here so no one notices. Oh, if I could just slip in here every once in a while. And if Mark can just do his little thing on that keyboard over there and I get it, that'll be good. I will stay under the radar and off the list. Because I'm afraid. I'm afraid that if I make a step, I'm afraid if I make a determination, I'm afraid that if I go all in, I'm afraid that if I don't hold anything back, but I'm here to follow you, Jesus, that I will be attacked and it will hurt and my life will be ruined. If you believe that, then I have word for you. in the book of Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is also able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I've got good news. He can save you to the uttermost. Not save you partially. Not save you a little bit. Not save you but still leave something exposed to the enemy. But he saves to the uttermost. I'm not afraid to be on the devil's list. I can't go back to where I was. God saves to the uttermost. Would you all stand with me? Just after this, they're having the Passover. And Jesus looks at Simon Peter and he says, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. And I got to thinking about that this morning. What Satan desires to do is to flip you up in the air over and over again. Can I get a witness that I have been flipped up in the air over and over again on more than one occasion? And the reason he's doing that, the reason you sift the wheat, is to separate its essence. It is to divide the parts of the wheat. Satan, Simon, wants to separate you from the gospel that is quickly becoming a part of who you are. Then he said, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. You know what that tells me? Faith is the glue that keeps me held to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus looked at Peter and said, I pray for you that your faith fail not. He said, I'm praying that when you're flipped up in the air, that the glue sticks. He said, it's all right, Peter. You're going to feel flipped up in the air, not once, not twice, but three times. And when you're done, you're still going to be stuck to what you know is true. You're still going to be stuck to the knowledge that God Almighty has come so that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, superfluously, in excess. And so today, right now, I want to talk to that person that has been flipped around one too many times. Every time you make an effort to come to church, all hell is out to assault you. You feel it. You feel it in your kids. You feel it in your dog. You feel it in your car. You feel it in the alarm clock. You feel it in breakfast. You feel it in the coffee. Everywhere you turn, something is coming at you. Not today. Not today. Not today. Every time you try to establish a prayer life with God, every time you fall on your knees and say, God, I just need to talk to you a little bit, all hell tries to assault you with ringing phones and screaming kids and something happening outside and there's a fly on the wall and there's a squirrel running by. I was looking for Sister Glide, and I was about to say something about cats being used as the devil, but she always reminds me when I say something about cats. Every time you try to get into the Word of God, because in the Word is God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when I read the Word, I'm getting in touch with something ancient. I'm getting in touch with something almighty. But every time I try to open it, all hell starts attacking because it just looks like gobbledygook. I know someone believes that right now. I know that someone has struggled with that this week. My God, if you'll come down here and say, put me on the list. Go ahead. head, devil. Do what you want. Put me down as number 10. Put me down as number 5,691. I don't care. I am here because I want to be saved to the uttermost. If you have struggled in your walk with God, if you have struggled in creating relationship with Him, if you'll come down here and let a man of God put his hand on you and pray the prayer of faith. I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not, that you will not be separated from the love of God. There is life here. There is availability here for you right now. Make your way down here. Lift your hands and start talking to God. God, today I make a decision. Today I step out on faith. Today, I'm trusting in you. Lift your hands and let's talk to God.